Sunday, you get the Chargers and the Falcons. That's 11:30 pregame. Joined in progress, Seahawks at Cardinals. Pregame, Chiefs, Titans, 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And Monday is you and I, Wartburg, basketball. Basketball, yes! Basketball, good. I like that basketball is making its way back in. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, taking care of your personal business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. It's commitment that you can bank on. They have locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many locations across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group earns Top Workplace Award for the 8th year in a row from the Des Moines Register. That's part of that commitment, too. So you can tell by having that award, and for the 8th year in a row means that from top to bottom, everybody knows what everybody's doing, everybody is in tune, and everybody's thinking the same things, and that's what you're looking for. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. You don't need to go in. You don't need to talk to anybody. You can do it right there. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, so many things to talk about. I'm just going to start hitting some of these. And we are a Kansas City Chief affiliate. And last year, during the playoffs, Brett Reed, Andy Reid's son, was arrested for drunk driving and speeding. He hit a parked car, leaving a young 5-year-old girl with a serious brain injury. Penalties have finally came down. It could have been the penalty for what happened could have been as bad as 7 years. The prosecution wanted 4. Reed wanted probation. I think they settled on 3 years. They said today that Coach or Brett Reed blew a .113, legal limits .08. I think the Chiefs have also reached a confidential agreement with the family to take care of all their medical expense and treatment and everything. It's a horrible situation. It's a horrible situation for everything. But I think the right thing was done. Nobody wants to have those things happen, that you don't want to be a cause of something. No one wants it to happen to them. No one wanted a young girl to be, you know, have her whole life changed in that, you know, in that quick moment. But it shows you have to be more careful while you're out. It's that time of year, right? You're getting into November, December, you're getting Christmas parties and different functions are going on at this time of year. If you're drinking, don't drive. If you're drinking, get an Uber. Do something. Do the right thing. We've all done at some point in time. We've driven when we know we shouldn't have been driving because it's just the stubbornness. That's not the right thing to do. Michigan State today has suspended 4 more players after an incident at the Michigan game. I think this is not only is this a stain on Michigan State, it's a little bit of a stain on the Big Ten, and it's only a stain on the Big Ten for this reason. Only one way in and one way out for both teams. I mean, you got to figure something out. You either got to keep somebody out. I mean, you have to have people that are equipped, and that may not be a Big Ten thing. That could be a Michigan State thing. That's something they're going to have to look at. I think Mel Tucker's in trouble. I think Mel Tucker's in trouble because he's not winning football games. But having something like this happen, I think, it is a big deal. I think the original 4 that were sought out yesterday, I think criminal charges may be processed against them. The other 4 is harder to tell because there's no film. You can see the film of the other 4 and what they were doing. And if it's anywhere else, it's not even a question that it was an assault. They weren't on the football field. They weren't playing football. They were walking to the locker room. They were hitting somebody with a helmet. They were kicking. They were punching. That stuff just can't happen. It's a bad look for college football. It's a bad look for Michigan and Michigan State. Michigan had kind of a thing with Penn State last week. I don't know what's being said. I don't know what's happening, but I congratulate the Big Ten, or I congratulate Mel Tucker for one, or Michigan State, whichever it was, for coming in and saying, okay, we took care of four. We went and we saw more. We talked to more people. We did four more. They said they're not done investigating all the way. But it is something that can't happen. And the NCAA needs to do something about it too. Once again, I'm sometimes tough on the NCAA and for fair on a lot of things. And I'm not saying so much the NCAA here for just the NCAA. But it's a double-edged sword, everybody. It is, you know, there's academics in the NCAA. There's athletics in the NCAA. And it's hard to mesh the two with the dollar amounts that are being tossed around and everything that's happening. And I think, you know, probably 10 years ago, we started letting the cart get in front of the horse. And we don't know how to rein it back in. And I don't think that particular institution was set up. It was set up to watch a much smaller segment than what it is. When you look at what the NCAA football has become, multi-billion dollars. When you look at what the NCAA men's tournament is, multi-billion dollars in men's basketball. The women's NCAA is becoming a $1 billion industry to probably double and triple quicker than we can even imagine. And then you throw all the Olympic sports, your gymnastics and swimming, it's all gotten too big and it's all gotten too much money. And they were so good at taking that money that they never thought about sharing some of that money. And so now when the money's not specifically being shared, the money is being dealt directly to the individuals. The NCAA throws their hands up and says, I don't know what we can do. It's just going to be a free-for-all. Well, it's been a free-for-all. The only difference is it was a free-for-all for you. It's a difficult situation, and I understand that. And here's this is one of the things that's always said, and I understand this. And I think 35 years ago, you could do that. Okay. These 62 football players are 120, say 122 football players had scholarships. Those scholarships were probably worth $60,000. Okay. That's a lot of money. And it was a lot of money back then. Now their scholarships are their scholarships are even more expensive. Let's even say that they're $40,000 a year. That's $160,000. The NCAA makes that on one half of one quarter of the first football game that's played in the year for everybody in the NCAA. So to say that individuals, when they're not there to watch the coaches, they're not there to watch the referees, they're not there because they have nothing better to do because as much, I mean, seriously, I love going to football games a lot, but when you have, let's just say you have a 2:30 football game this Saturday and it's in Ames, it's going to be maybe a little rainy. I think it's changing a little bit. It's going to be 59 degrees. Last Saturday was the weather was amazing. So the lots open up 6 hours before. So 2:30, 1:30, 12:30, 11:30, 10:30, 9:30. So say 9 o'clock. You're going to start heading up there. That's a day because by the time that 2:30 game gets done at 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, by the time if you don't want to wait in line and you just want to sit there and talk to your friends, and then you have a drive home. You know, it's big business. It takes time. It's all these things. And that's how come name, image, and likeness and all these things are going through because coaches are making millions of dollars. The organizations are making billions of dollars. The conferences are making billions of dollars. And you can't not pay. But you also can't let things like this happen. The new TV contracts that are going out, the money is unbelievable. And it's going to be a very quick turnaround for the people involved to see how they want to deal directly with it, because the money's only going to go up. Because right now we have a playoff of four. This is what the next thing I want to talk about is the college football playoff. And that means that you have on any given season, you have 16 teams that are fighting for four spots. And you get down to some very big biases, and that's what I want to talk about. If I don't finish it this segment, where I don't even know if I'll get started this segment. But we're going to talk about it. If you go to 16 teams, if you go to 12 teams, you go to 16 teams. Here's the first thing. At least they say this. I don't think they believe it. But if it, let's say it's a 12 team playoff, so a team is going to have to play an extra three or four games. A couple of teams are going to play an extra couple of games. Is that good for the college athlete? Well, I don't think anybody that's out there cares about the college athlete because they want the money. If a four-game playoff is worth $1 billion, a four-team playoff, then my assumption would be that a 12-team playoff at the minimum would be worth $12 billion. That's a lot of money to spread around. You need to make sure it's getting spread around to the right places. So I think leading back to, I have a feeling that after the season, I doubt very much that Mel Tucker is still the coach at Michigan State, and probably not because of this incident or some other incidents that have happened under his watch, but more for the fact that he's not winning football games. And, you know, you can spend a whole show talking about that. You know, hey, the coaches get all paid all this money. They fire them. They pay them off. They bring somebody else in. They usually pay them even more than what they were paying before. And all these kids that went to school because Mel Tucker came to their high school and came and watched them play football and sat and talked to them and sat in their living rooms and talked to their parents. But that was not the reason that they went to Michigan State. It was the university and that education. Wrong. Okay, so let's start this right now. So the college football playoff came out last night with its first rankings. And their first rankings, I'm going to give you the most important. I'm going to give you the top four, and then I will take it out to the top 12. So right now, Tennessee is number one, Ohio State is number two, Georgia is number three, Clemson is number four, Michigan is number five, Alabama is number six, TCU is number seven, Oregon is number eight, USC is number nine, and LSU is number 10. Those are the college football playoff rankings. And there's some things that stick out right away. And you're splitting hairs here with at least the top, until you get to six. Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Michigan, Alabama. And, we're going to stop at five. So we're going to stop at Michigan. Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Michigan, Alabama. Nope, we're not going to say Alabama. Just Michigan. All four, one, two, three, four, five. All five of those teams are undefeated. And they rank them. When I did a deep dive on here, I definitely would rank Tennessee number one. I'm going to tell you why. In their games that they've played, they have beaten number 17, Pittsburgh, number 20, Florida, number 25, LSU, number 3, Alabama, number 19, Kentucky, and they play number 3, Georgia this week. Ohio State's number 2. Ohio State so far has beat number 5, Notre Dame, and they beat number 13. I think they beat number 13. And I can't remember who 13 was. I didn't hit 13 down there. Penn State. I'm sorry. They beat number 13, Penn State. Okay, so Ohio State's number 2. So I'm okay with that. Georgia is number 3. Georgia beat number 11, Oregon, early. And they will not have played a ranked team after this week as they're playing Tennessee. They have not played anybody else. But they have Georgia ranked number 3, and most people today wanted Georgia ranked number 1. Clemson is number 4. Clemson beat number 21, Wake Forest, 2 overtimes. They beat number 10, NC State, by 10 at home. They beat unranked Florida State by 6. They beat number 14, Syracuse, by 6. They play Notre Dame And that's all they have left. And right now they have Clemson number 4. Michigan has beaten number 10 Penn State, and they still have number 16 Illinois and number 2 Ohio State to play. And then you have TCU. TCU so far is ranked, they're ranked behind Alabama, which has a loss. And I did Alabama. Alabama has beat Texas, who for some godforsaken reason is ranked number 24 in this, and they're 5-3. And they could just as easily be 2-6. They beat Texas 20-19. They beat Texas A&M 24-20. Both of those teams, Texas has, they're 5-3. Texas A&M has a losing record. They lost to Tennessee. They beat Mississippi State, who's 500. And then they play LSU, who jumped in. Where was LSU? LSU's number 10 with Brian Kelly. They play LSU this weekend. Then he plays Mississippi. And then in typical fashion, Alabama plays Austin Peay. And then they play Auburn in the Iron Bowl, but it's at home. And the pundits, what they said, the people that are on this committee, you know why they ranked Alabama ahead of TCU? Well, first off, they said their resume was better. And I'm going to give you TCU's resume here in just a second. The second thing they said is, well, TCU's been behind in some football games this year. Okay. I'm going to do this really quick. TCU has beaten number 18, Oklahoma, number 19, Kansas, number 17, K-State, number 8, Oklahoma State. They still get to play Texas, who's 24, and then they have Baylor and ISU. TCU should be, at worst, the third-ranked team in this poll, just for the simple fact of who they have played. We'll talk more about this when we come back. You are listening to Scene on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Here's a look at traffic.
Back it up. You might remember it as home.
Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Wednesday. We are way on the downside of the work week. It's kind of welcome. Very much so. You are listening to Steen on Sports. I'm bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot and ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Those urgent injury clinics in both Ankeny and West Des Moines, no appointment needed. You can look up wait lines on demos.com. The hours are West Des Moines is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday. Ankeny's is 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. So what I kind of like to tell people, Ankeny urgent cares are open a little bit earlier and close a little earlier, and West Des Moines opens a little later and closes a little later, and they're both open the same on Saturdays. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, bone sticking out, you can go to the emergency room. If the condition is a minor illness or injury, take advantage of the convenience and affordability of your urgent care has to offer. We accept most insurance, but we also recommend confirming with your insurance carrier. And a new part of DMOS is Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. They also have 2 locations in Grimes and Huxley. DMOS, get back to living through orthopedic care. Okay, so there's always fun and everything when you take a look at these, at the coaches or at the first playoff poll. And you have a bunch of coaches, athletic directors, they sit around in a room, they bark out stuff. Neither here nor there. I You know what? Once you get through two more weeks, you're going to have a couple more games out there. You're going to have some of these teams. You know, Ohio State still has to play Michigan. Georgia's playing Tennessee this week. You know, that's one. If Tennessee beats Georgia, then Tennessee is by far your number one team. That's beating too many good people. If Tennessee loses, you have those people who go, well, their loss was later than Alabama's loss, so that must mean that no, then Alabama can never be ahead of Tennessee if they have the same record, because Tennessee beat Alabama. Even Alabama fans can't expect that. Sorry, John Wally. Even though everybody loves the Alabama Crimson Tide. No. I love John, though. So that means I like Alabama. I just don't have to like them on the radio. Let's see here. Where do I want to go next? I want to do a little bit with the NBA. We talked a little bit about Kyrie Irving and some of the things he said. You know what? That's an internal thing. Hopefully, the thing that I don't like about it is that there's been no repercussions yet. It's like the NBA kind of went, you know, it's just Kyrie being Kyrie. No, that's not Kyrie being Kyrie. Just because Kyrie's a basketball player and has a lot of money doesn't mean that he can spout hatred. And it's not, it doesn't fit under the shield of the NBA to have that happen. We'll see what happens. Before I get to the NBA, now there are sources that the federal government is investigating Commanders' finances. You also have some lawsuits that are still outstanding, and you had Daniel Snyder and his wife have looked out to Bank of America to explore a Commander sale. We all are hoping it's to sell the entire team. We hope it's just not, well, I want to sell like a 5% minority stake, which means nothing. Daniel Snyder has slid by for so long, for so many bad things that the fact that the NFL, listen, I don't think you can do anything to take the NFL out of its top spot. I mean, it is the king of kings when it comes to sports, when it comes to betting, when it comes to television audience, everything. You could put a game on every night and it would be the lead television show every single night. But they should have places where they go, this is taking us in a direction that maybe I don't want to go. And that would not be a great idea. Interesting thing that just popped up on my ESPN, and it popped up on CBS as well. Sources, the dreaded sources. Sources say that Gonzaga may be looking at moving to the Big 12. Gonzaga has been exploring its conference options as it has emerged as one of the premier basketball programs in the country. Both the Pac-12 and the Big East have engaged with Gonzaga, according to sources, but they feel that they would be a better fit for the Big 12. The Big 12 targeting Gonzaga as a potential addition to bolster its basketball isn't a surprise, as the conference is regarded in recent seasons as the top basketball league in the country. I think that's very interesting. It was one of those things. I think you can go grab a couple of those. You know, that's why I think that Memphis fits in, because they don't have everything, but they have enough. I think they're qualified to be good enough in football. I think they're qualified to be good enough in basketball, and I think they have some other things. So that's going to be an interesting thing. The dollar amount that's out there, it's going to be interesting to see what the Pac-12 does, and if the Pac-12 can survive. Listen, you know, I think originally that when USC and UCLA said they were going to join the Big Ten, I don't think people really cared. And I think of any of them that care, it's UCLA that cares maybe the most because of the history. I love Bill Walton. I love listening to Bill Walton. I love listening to him talk. I think he's crazy, but I just, it's mesmerizing to me. He was an icon. He's an NCAA. When you do the Mount Everest of the NCAA basketball, he has to be there. You know, you want to put certain people there. He has to be there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has to be there. I mean, that Mount Rushmore is much harder in the NCAA than it is in a lot of different places. But I think that's going to, you're going to see some Olympic sports get some run in some of these conferences. Could be Olympic sport. I mean, it's going to change the way people look at what these are going to be. I think we have a long, long road ahead of us on where we're going to end up with conference realignment. I think we are. I think I think we're getting closer to have a little bit of an eyeball test on where these are going to fall. I still wouldn't be surprised. Well, maybe not. I'm still curious to see what the Pac-12, if the Pac-12 has any juice at all to be able to pull back on USC or UCLA. I really don't think that they have. I don't think they have what it takes to get there. I just wanted to talk about the NBA just a little bit, because when you look at the NBA, I think the NBA, you can look at early in the season, and you can look at teams that are overachieving, teams that are underachieving, and on the underachieving part, there's a lot more. I think the teams, in the Eastern Conference have kind of worked themselves out. I think the Detroit Pistons are going to make a coaching change. I don't think they like the direction that they're heading. They're 2-6. I don't think they're. It's one of those times where young stars and old coach isn't getting along. I think the top 10 are pretty close. There's nobody. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks are 6-0, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are 5-1. The Boston Celtics and the Raptors are 4-2. I get that. I think the surprising part is when you look, the LA Clippers, the Golden State Warriors, and the Los Angeles Lakers are in the bottom five of the NBA right now. I think Golden State they are working out some issues. They're working out some defensive issues. They're working out how they're going to use their youth and mix with what they have. They're at that turning point where, do I keep Draymond Green? Do I keep this guy? Do I keep that guy? How many more minutes can I give this guy? Right now, their defense is atrocious. And when you have a Steph Curry is not a defensive guy. He's never going to be a defensive guy. And even they've lost their last three games. None of them have been, I mean, they're not getting blown out. They just lost fourth quarter leads. But their points for and points against are not good right now. The Lakers are not good. I don't know what you're going to do there. But let's talk about some things that are. I mean, the Phoenix Suns are playing really, really well. The Portland Trailblazers are playing well. The Utah Jazz, who everybody thought, oh my gosh, look what they did. Rudy Gobert. They got rid of Rudy Gobert. Look at all the things they got rid of and all the draft picks they have. They're 6-2. They still have players. They have players that want to play basketball, and they have a good coach. San Antonio is playing really well. The New Orleans Pelicans are 4-2. I think they've only lost a game with all their players there. Some of these teams that have a lot of new players, the Timberwolves for one, they're struggling a little bit. Like I said, the Cleveland Cavaliers are fun to watch. They're athletic. They're defensive-minded. It's a really good group. And Mitchell gives them somebody that you know can get you a bucket when you need a bucket. It's just an interesting season because if you look at stats, when you look at season leaders, it's your typical people that are up there. Luka Doncic is scoring almost 37 points a game. Giannis is scoring 34 points a game. Ja Morant is averaging 33. Kevin Durant's averaging 32. Donovan Mitchell's averaging 32. Steph Curry, I think, is right there at 31.9. Rudy Gobert is averaging 14 rebounds. Everybody said, well, the center's done in the NBA. What's Rudy Gobert going to be? Rudy Gobert is the defensive stopper that the Minnesota Timberwolves have never had. They don't have a problem with their offense. It was their defense. They couldn't stop it. Cat is a 6'10 shooting guard who can't guard anybody that's anywhere near his height. If you ask me who the best player in the league is, I'm going to tell you the best player in the league is Giannis. I think Luka's right behind him. I think Ja Morant is right behind him. And I think Nikola Jokic is right there as well. And they're like the unicorns, right? You don't know what to do with Luka and Jokic, because you watch them play and you're like, how are they doing what they're doing? I don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing, and I don't know. Some interesting stuff. James Harden's averaging 10 assists a game. I think he's also averaging 5 turnovers a game. Chris Paul is averaging 11 assists a game. Chris Paul, until he's overused and gets hurt or just slumps a little bit, he's always going to be right there. If you're looking for somebody to, you know, we have a lot of people, and a lot of people are talking about Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray is going to be a really, really, really good NBA basketball player. But if you're gonna give some homegrown some love who played in the state, right now, Tyrese Halliburton might be one of the 5, 6, 7 guys that you want to watch play basketball right now. He's averaging 9.4 assists. He wants the ball. He's defending. He can defend. I think he can. He probably defends 4 positions. He's averaging 21 points a game. He's averaging 9.4 assists. He's shooting 44% from 3. He's shooting 48% from the field. I would like to see him. I would like to see the turnovers go down. He averages a good almost 4 a game. But he gets 2 of those backs because he's averaging 2 steals a game. He gets about 5 boards a game. He's shooting 94% from the free throw line. He's doing all the things you want him to do, but he has the ball in his hands all the time. And that happens. So the turnovers happen when you have the ball in your hand. If you want to see somebody, if not the other person that you need to see, you need to watch Giannis play basketball. It is poetry in motion. And you forget how big he is. It's been a fun NBA year. I got to get that middle son of mine to get in here and talk NBA with me at some point in time. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. One more segment for this Wednesday coming up.
Time to throw over the middle. Juju Smith-Schuster wide open, 25.
The conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday. Man, that went really fast, too. Maybe it's just supposed to go fast. That's all I can think of. And that's okay. You are listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans, bringing you your sports, hopefully your way, every day. Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 Champ, and Facebook at 1700 Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance. Provide quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care healthcare, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology. It's hard to read something, right? I'm used to just talking. Providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level janitorial service to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. So that kind of wraps that up. So I want to thank Palmer Group. I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance. I want to thank Des Moines Orthopedic. I want to thank Northwest Bank and Woodman Controls and BetMGM. And you've been listening to my come and go. Come and go. It is so different. So much fun. I struggle because there's too many things to choose from. Nana's listening, and it's been such a bit. Love you, Nana. Love you, DJ. Nana and my wife, Jennifer, will be on my side. I pretty much could eat the same thing every day. I could have my Chick-fil-A sandwich for lunch. I have a Kraken egg for breakfast, and I could have rice every night, and I could have pasta veggie pasta with dressing every night. I mean, I could eat the same thing every night. I'm pretty boring. I'm not proud of that, but I am extremely, extremely boring. You did have a couple other things that popped up today. Not only is the Washington Commanders in trouble, Dan Snyder, for some things that he has done. Now they're looking at financial improprieties that the Washington Commanders. He also, before this story broke, because it broke 1 hour ago, and the Commanders, Daniel Snyder, hiring Bank of America to explore sales options happened about 4.5 hours ago. So there's more to the story than what meets the eye. You always love those. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Everybody in Washington would be happy. I think people would be more realistic to be a fan of the Washington Commanders if Daniel Snyder wasn't there. If 10% of the things that are out there about Daniel Snyder are true, which I think is a very low, low threshold, then he shouldn't be coaching. I mean, he shouldn't be an owner of a national football team, National League football team. That's just the way it goes. And I don't know what else to do. I'm going to mention this with my sister-in-law, Kathleen. Back in the day, I worked with Kathleen, and we thought about this day. So November 2nd of 2016, Sergeant Tony Bimineo was lost in the line of duty, Des Moines police officer. Tony was a good dude. Still makes me sad. He was a really good guy, a really good Des Moines police officer, and just he was there to help. And you forget about those things. And that's one of the things that I enjoy so much about social media, is because social media doesn't let you forget. They don't let you forget things you want to forget, and they don't let you forget things that you don't want to forget. So it's a little win-loss at some point. Another kind of special one for me, because I'm a fan and always have been, Sam Powell, won a state championship at East High School in girls basketball. They're naming the gym after him. I think that's cool. I'm a big fan. U.S. women's gymnastic team wins historic gold medal at World Championships in Liverpool. And it's a bunch of new gals, which makes it even more exciting. So these are the new odds on BetMGM after the trade deadline. Buffalo helped itself a little bit. They are plus 230. I don't know if that plus 230 is worth betting. We'll get into some here that I think you're getting precariously close to. The Philadelphia Eagles are plus 550. And I didn't see this and I didn't pull it up on BetMGM. I pulled it up on my social media account. And so I don't know if these are to get to the Super Bowl or to win the Super Bowl. If it's to get to the Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles at plus 550, bet $100, win 550 bucks, bet $10, win 55. That's a pretty good bet because I do not think that the NFC is very good. The Kansas City Chiefs are plus 650. The San Francisco, if you don't want to bet on the Philadelphia Eagles, right now you can get the San Francisco 49ers for $1,200. Bet 10, get 120. Bet 100, get 1,200. My Ravens are 1,400. I still don't think that makes me jump up and down. The Dallas Cowboys are plus 1,400. The Minnesota Vikings are plus 1,600. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2,500. If I was going to bet, I would bet a couple this way. I would bet... I would bet $100 on the Eagles, and I would bet this is going to make my partner Scotty. I'd bet $100 on the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are plus 3,000, and the reason I think that's there is because offenses do not win you championships, but boy, do they make it easier. They make it easier to win championships. That's a lot for a team that's as good as they've been playing. This one blew my mind today. There were 131.6 million Powerball tickets sold for Monday night's drawing. That's a lot of money. Which still only amounted to 36.3% of all possible combinations being covered. Which, if my math is right, means that you need to spend almost, if you spent $400 million, you could win $131.6 million. If my math is right, it's 40%, 3, 2, 2 and change, you wouldn't have to spend that. So it's like almost $300 million would get you 131.6. That's why people don't buy every number that's out there. Plus, you'd be sharing with people as well. Not a good idea. But I thought that was strange that it's only 36.3%. It would seem like that would be more. I need somebody to text me if they're listening. Is this, because I can't pull it up because it wouldn't, I for some reason, WHO Radio didn't let me pull up to read through. Is Hy-Vee not been open, or has Hy-Vee been open on Thanksgiving? I mean, I didn't think Hy-Vee had been open on Thanksgiving because I always, before the internet, before social media, I was always the one that got up early in the morning and went around trying to pick up the morning paper so we could look at the ads, right? Now you can do it on your computer. I guess I didn't know that it says Hy-Vee retail stores to close Thanksgiving Day. Like, it's something they've never done before. I don't know if that's true. So if... in the little bit of time we have left here, if somebody wants to text and tell me or they see it on social media, send it this way. I don't know. That seems interesting to me. I think I talked a little bit about it today, but Kansas has self-imposed a 4-game suspension for Bill Self and Curtis Townsend to begin this season. The program will also impose recruiting restrictions. They were said that they didn't think they did anything wrong, but they were out at watching a tournament somewhere, and I guess they weren't supposed to be. And I'm going to close with this one. Charles Barkley, nothing's better than having Charles Barkley do anything. He's hilarious. He said, this is all on Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons. James Harden. Steve Nash was a scapegoat. Steve Nash came in there. They knew that it wasn't going to work. They knew they were probably going to get rid of him. They knew they weren't an easy grouping to coach. I feel bad for Steve Nash. He deserves better than that. He's a Hall of Famer. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott tomorrow. Talk to you then. Here's a look at track.